Hello, and welcome to Rebite number 14 with Jenny Lothrop. I'm Tim Elliott, and these are short and chewy conversations with interesting people. Jenny, why don't you introduce yourself to the people listening?
Hello, everybody. I'm Jen Lothrop. Range of different things, but my main thing is I run a business called Feel Good Do Good, and we are here to make organizations happier and do work better. That largely involves agile working, so I'm a scrum master, which I can go into in a bit if you're interested, nothing to do with rugby, and help organizations put kind of agile processes in place in their business, often linked to digital projects such as websites or software or digital services, but I'm a big believer that agile doesn't have to just be for software and tech, and can actually be for almost anything. Like, a lot of the processes can be used for any kind of complex project, basically. And I also believe that agile working is a happier way of working. Other stuff about me: I'm a trustee for the Peak District National Park Foundation, the chair of trustees, so spend quite a lot of time doing that and love it, supporting our local beautiful national park, and I'm a lover of dogs, and I'm a big reader. So yeah, that's a bit about me, bit of an intro.
In a nutshell, that was fabulous. So we'll start on the topic of the podcast on agile, because over the last, I don't know, 3 months or so, 2 or 3 months, the back end of 2020 maybe, I think people have been going, after a year-ish or almost a year of crazy COVID times, right, people have been unlearning what work means and what productivity means. And agile and scrum have seemed to be words that are bandied about a little bit, whether people actually know what they do or not. Because agile means agile, like responsive and quick to move and stuff like that, rather than agile as well, the process. Yeah. So I don't know if people are like they do often with creative and business related stuff, right? They misuse or misunderstand or misrepresent the words or out contextualize. So for those people who don't know for sure, right, who are unsure, how would you describe agile and scrum working?
Yeah, okay, so you're absolutely right, because I feel like I see the word agile in like every other blog post that gets sent into my inbox, or I see on Twitter or whatever, and often it is meaning more the everyone's being more agile because things are changing all the time and you have to be responsive and stuff. And there's definitely overlap between that kind of more general use of the word and the more specific use. So I kind of say agile with a capital A is what I do. And the simplest way to understand it, which some scrum and agile purists would tell me off for, is it is a form of project management, particularly for complex projects. So it's not for things where maybe it's something you do every year and you know the plan of how you do it, but it's something where you've got a general idea of what you're aiming for, what your outcome is, but you're not 100% sure how to get there yet. And a lot of people think they know, but actually, and put these big project plans in place, but things happen, things change along the way, and budgets change, timeframes change, what you actually want, what you thought you want, isn't what you want, and the outcome changes. And agile is a way of kind of better managing that, I guess. We do a lot in Scrum, we do a lot of stuff in what's called sprints. So we work in fortnightly or monthly sprints. And you might have a big backlog of work of all the different things that you need to do towards your project. But each sprint, you'll get together as a team and kind of plan out what's realistic to do in that time. There's a few kind of key tenets to agile, I guess. Things such as autonomy and trust within a team. It's very much about teamwork. True agile and true scrum, the team would be kind of able to cross-functional, so they'll each be able to do a lot of the stuff so that if someone went ill, somebody else could kind of take over. And another thing, thinking of the current situation and kind of productivity and where, you know, I don't think any of us have the same ability right now to get the same level of work done, which is seems counterintuitive when we've all got more time than we've perhaps ever had. But one of the things that I really like about Agile, and some people kind of seem quite surprised by, is each sprint you kind of schedule in your work and you get better at kind of guessing how much you're going to be able to achieve in that time. You start to really understand people's work patterns, people's ability, and so you start to estimate much better as to what can be achieved. And the ultimate idea is you should not fill your sprint. You should leave time for well-being, for life, for stuff that comes up. And if you finish all your work in the sprint, you should take the rest of the time off to, whether that's catching up on emails or other separate things, or just kind of take the afternoon off. You know, the next sprint planning isn't until tomorrow and I've done everything in my sprint. Reality is often, you know, you don't get everything done and you ask, you know, things get passed over from one sprint to the next. But the idea is it's flexible and it's kind of you're planning in short bursts. It's very open. So you're meant to, at the end of each sprint, you share what you've done. So you might get the chief exec of an organization to come along to a meeting where you share what you've done. I've worked quite a lot in councils and set up Agile in a council in the Lake District. And the chief exec and the directors absolutely loved it. Like they were like, this is amazing. I've never seen the openness, and they see the progress every 2 weeks and they know about the issues and they can comment on them. And yeah, it's just it's open. I think one of my other favorite things about it is brutal honesty. And that was something my ex-colleague who I used to work with told me, and he was all about brutal honesty. And sometimes as a scrum master, you have to tell the chief exec that their budget is ridiculous or their timeframe is ridiculous, or this really crappy thing has happened and so we're not going to reach that target. And you just have to be honest and open about it rather than hiding things, because when you're honest and open, you can fix them. And yeah, I could go on. I should stop for a moment.
That's really good. There's a couple of questions that I wrote down actually that I'd like to delve into. I'm going to go for one first. You mentioned Agile for complex projects, right? And that phrase caught my interest, right? How do you define, is there any parameters of people sitting out there, for example, of what a complex project looks like? Because some people make just building a website a complex project, right? And some people find it dead easy.
It would depend on the website, because I think some
websites
are really easy. And so if you're building a WordPress site using a template, it's pretty straightforward. You put the template in, you know what you're doing, you add the content, you probably know. But if you're building a bespoke website, then it would be complex. I think there isn't specific parameters. When I deliver agile training, I have a nice little graph that shows kind of like easy to medium to complex, kind of different levels of projects. And you kind of, this is the bit where Agile comes in and can really help. I'd say it'd be a number of things, like time is one. If it's something that happens quite quickly, then you probably kind of know what you're doing and you just get on with it. But if it's something that's a bigger project that probably takes place over a year or a few months or several years, then that's going to be complex. Also people. I think kind of when you've got a lot of people involved, which ultimately you should have with a lot of projects where you don't know the outcome, because one of the other key things is listening to your customers and user research. And that's the idea, is at the end of each sprint, you do something and you might test that straight away, that little bit of what you've done with your users, because then that will kind of change what you might focus on in the next sprint. So therefore it's complex, because if you really are listening to your users, things probably are going to change as you go along, because your assumptions will think that you're going to do one thing and then you'll do some research and realize, oh no, it's totally different. So yeah, no specific.
Yeah. I didn't know if it came with a, like a part of a process, because I'm into like human-centered design, you know, design thinking, design, that sort of thing. And it always starts with kind of a discovery bit or a bit of understanding and trying to define the project before you jump into doing the work, if you know what I mean. I didn't know if there was a process or part of the, like an understanding and discovery bit that, or set of questions that people go through to go, okay, then this is, this ticks the, it can be agile, run by agile box, of a nicer phrase or not, that people could.
Not really. But I mean, there's different opinions as to whether like the discovery part of it should come in the agile, straight away you start sprints to even do the discovery part, or whether a cup, say the product owner and somebody else does that, and then it goes into sprints when like developers are involved. But I'm also a big believer that it doesn't have to be, as I said at the start, it doesn't have to be tech or digital projects. And so some, it can also just be a way of managing your workload, kind of a productivity tool. So sometimes I use it for my own work, and that's just me. And obviously there's other people involved with clients and stuff, but in terms of managing my stuff, it's sometimes quite nice to do it in a fortnightly planning session. And I have my big backlog of projects and things that I want to do, but then it's like, right, realistically, what am I going to get done in the next 2 weeks? And you have what's known as a Kanban board, which is another kind of agile term, which you've probably heard of. And you've, so you've got like your to-do, your blocked for when there's an issue, in progress, test, and then done. And done, and what done is a whole nother conversation around agile. But but yeah, I've got big plans. I mean, people listening on podcast or whatever, you can't see, but this grey wall behind me, I'm planning on getting my own, my physical Kanban board up on there rather than a digital version, because I do like, I'm still a paper lover despite working in digital a lot of the time.
Yeah, that's good. So I like that it's a kind of a way of working, right? So how, I also like kind of origin story. So how did you discover or get into this way of working? Is it something you found yourself? Like what happened there?
No, so it was actually through a job. So I hadn't really heard of it before. And I worked in a council, Westminster Council, and I was kind of a content, digital content and project manager. And it was actually part, one of the projects I was working on was done using Scrum, but quite lightly. So we actually had external developers, and we'd have our fortnightly meetings where we would plan what and prioritize what needed to be done. And that was kind of my first insight into it. And then I was at another council doing content and UX work, and that was done straight away in Scrum. And so I kind of learned by doing, which is the what they say. So they say agile is easy to understand but difficult to master. And you people do courses, and courses are great, but you need to put it into practice, and you get better the more that you do it. And it's the same with teams. Teams work better together. You better start to predict how long things take. Like, you work better together. It's learning by doing. And so I kind of, yeah, I learned by doing, and became a Scrum Master, and then actually did my official Scrum Master training. And just, I've just kind of loved it even more the more I learn about it. It is very focused on tech and digital, but I'm trying to kind of make people understand that it doesn't have to be for that. And when I was, the last council that I was working at last year in the Lake District, though I was there working with the digital team on tech projects, we did quite a few kind of lunch and learns and trainings and stuff that any staff could come to. And you found like people in HR, people in legal were using bits of Agile. They had their Kanban boards up, they were doing their morning stand-ups, and they might not be doing it perfectly, but they were using bits of it in their day-to-day practice that had nothing to do with tech. And that's what I really like to see. I think there's bits of it that you can, yeah, but I'm still learning. But yeah, so I guess that's my
your route in.
My route in.
That's good. I did the similar thing with marketing and brand strategy and stuff. I always did it as a job, and then got to, I can't remember how old it was, maybe it was probably 10 years ago or so, I got asked to start lecturing and teach CIM courses, Chartered Institute of Marketing and stuff, and then learn all the theory and went, oh, it's got a name, that thing I do to make it effective, has it? It's a real thing, it's not just me. And then did all the, like, the academic stuff on the back of it and went, oh, I get it, rather than learning all the theory up front and not having practice it.
Do you know? I think that's a better way. I think it's good to actually do it, and then you start to fit it in, and suddenly things start to all slot together, and then you start to add your own twist onto it as well.
It's you can, you know, you adopt those ideas and theories and models better if you've got your own story to tell.
And it's also the happiness link as well. Like, I haven't really seen that talked about much when you talk about Agile, but I saw it firsthand when I was working in the Lake District. And Agile isn't for everyone. There was definitely a couple of people there who didn't enjoy it. They got stressed every time I bought a post-it out, and, you know, if someone doesn't love post-its, then they're not for me. But other people, like, you'd overhear them talking and being like, I've never been so excited to come to work. They have more autonomy. There's, you know, there we go. Tim's showing me all the post-its. Love it. I have a drawerful.
Always within easy reach, post-its.
Exactly, always. That's what's going up on my board. It's just going to be covered in post-its. They don't stick to the paint. That's why I need something better. And I'd overhear people, and I think a lot, especially in councils, which is who I often work with, councils and charities, they are very hierarchical, and Agile isn't. It's not about hierarchy. It's about working as a team. It's about that trust and autonomy. And they're just the obvious, when you talk about happiness, they are, people want trust, they want autonomy in their work. Like, they don't want to just be told what to do. That's another.
Yeah, I think that's a nice segue into that bit, actually, because you've said a couple of good phrases that like, do work better and do better work, which has been, again, something that's been front of my mind for sure, and in conversations I've had in networking clients and stuff like that, because I did my own user research, really, as I often do in December, because it's a bit quiet in my world in December. So I always, like, WhatsApp survey my mates in a circle and stuff like that, and see, you know, where the world is sitting in, sort of thing. And I wanted to know what I'm not big into goal setting and New Year's resolutions and all that stuff, really, but I am into continual progression, continual improvement. Right, so I've texted about 20 people, I think, and about 15 of them used some version or some words of wellness is more important than work this year in 2021. Right, and I know that's a small sample size, right, but if we're representative of any other portion of the population, there must be a wider thing. And I think, you know, like, I sound daft when I say it, but I'm really working on happiness.
I like that. Brilliant.
Like, do you know what, like, this year I'm going, oh, really, I'm choosing stuff that will make me happier rather than any other metric.
That's really good.
And it's difficult, like, it's difficult to define happiness. Because I find myself going, well, I liked that. Did it make me happy? Again, my brain is still trying to strategize happiness.
I think there is a line between almost overthinking it to a point, but it is good to kind of acknowledge and take note of what makes us happy.
I think work is, I mean, this might be going down a rabbit hole, and tell me to shut up on my own podcast if it's fine. But I've been thinking, I'm using this as a therapy session now. We'll just forget this.
No, go ahead.
I've been thinking about the link between work and identity, right? Because I've figured that at least for me, your identity or your self-esteem and self-awareness of whatever that is in the world links to happiness, right? And work is a massive part of that for, well, for me anyway, because I'm a solo consultant guy. Like, I am my work. I don't have a brand attributed to it. I don't have colleagues, team, you know, a bunch of other stuff like an organization. I am the work. Do you know what I mean? And I think how you do that work, bringing it back to Agile, right? How you choose to spend that time that you have to spend doing what we call work is like, it's such a big part of happiness. I don't know if you've seen that in your work with organizations and stuff, like the link.
I think it's so true. I mean, the work, we spend so much of our time working, right? And it's, when you think of the olden days, for want of a better term, I feel like it was more kind of people work to earn money, and, you know, work was hard and work wasn't something to be enjoyed. And now it's kind of flipped the opposite way. And I think there's a balance, right? There's always going to be stuff you've got to do that you don't want to do. Accounts, case in point, for the majority of people. But it's around that kind of, I guess, kind of greater purpose and means to an end. But I think we have become better at, or I think maybe we're becoming better, especially with lockdown, of balancing the two. I don't know if I'm really answering the question here, but I'm kind of similar to you in that this year I'm trying to really focus on the work that makes me happy and do the things that make me happy. And you may have seen my blog post that I did around my kind of goal for the year. And I know you said you don't really like goals, and it wasn't really a specific goal, and it was more a motto, I guess. Yeah. And that was to do a little bit. And because the thing that I struggle with is, and I think it links with what you were saying of like identity, but is like success. And I feel like success is very similar to happiness in that we always strive to get it, but you never really reach it. Yeah. And it's about feeling happy and feeling successful where you are now. And because otherwise you're never going to get there. And so my, like you with that kind of continued learning, that's one of the things that comes up again and again in happiness research is people do actually like that progression is really important. That kind of continued learning is really important to happiness. So my phrase for the year is do a little bit. And it's the idea being that I'm always moving forward. I may be moving forward at a slower pace than I have done in previous years, because as I said right at the start, we all need more time for looking after ourselves this year. We think we'd need less because we've got so much more time. There's like, let's just work. We can't do anything else. Let's just work all the time. And some days when I'm like buzzing and on it, I'm like, yeah, this is it. I'm going to work all the hours. I'm going to do all the work. Got nothing else to do. I love my work, blah, blah, blah. And then you have a day where suddenly you drop and you're like, oh my God, I just want to sleep. Can't do anything. I'm so tired. And I think we need to listen to ourselves and our minds and our bodies a lot more. And it's easier in some ways for us as freelancers, as people that work for ourselves. We can be flexible. Like, I love working on Sundays a lot of the time, so I'll often take time off during the week. And if I'm having a really shitty day, unless I've got some super duper urgent deadline or some training, I can generally push it to the next day. But it's harder for people when they work for someone else. And I think that's where agile, but also well-being, is really important. And organizations, managers, leaders need to understand that. I feel like I've gone on a bit of a random tangent with lots of different directions there, but
it was good. And I think there's like why the reason why I love stuff like Agile, right, and human-centered design and processing stuff is because although there's a framework, there's freedom within it, right?
Yeah.
The framework and the constraints are there to help you make progress.
Yeah.
Right. You're not left to a 20-person meeting to make your own decisions and wonder if, you know, just going along with the loudest person in the room was the right thing. Mm. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's that freedom within the framework. And I think doing work that way, or whatever we're defined as work, is helps us create value, right? Mm. And that value may be productivity, it may be better experience, it may be better service, it may be money.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But I think we're somewhere on the journey, somewhere on the early bit of the journey where value creation is more important than like old school profit, loss, goals, yeah, sales targets,
and
growth.
Talking of values, that is what Agile is about. Like, it has key values that is what you're meant to work by, I guess. And like the first one is individuals over processes, or individuals and interactions over processes and tools. And that is, and there's other things, I'm gonna have a look at Agile Manifesto now. So like working software over comprehensive documentation. People don't want loads of paperwork for paperwork's sake. Customer collaboration over contract negotiation, and responding to change over following a plan. They're kind of that's what Agile is. That's the manifesto of Agile. But I think that first one of interactions over processes individuals over processes is paramount. Like, it's about the people ultimately. Yes, there are some really key processes in Agile, and ceremonies, as they like to be called, which is the events or meetings that you have. I find the word ceremony still a bit odd, but I mean, the title Scrum Master is also a bit odd. So, you know, some odd words in there, but it's about the team, and it's about the teamwork and working together. And that's what's so important. Even when you work for yourself, it's about the people you interact with, and that's what makes the work good a lot of the time, isn't it? It's not just the work itself, it's the people that you work with. And that's what's going to help our well-being. It's
I think the more stuff, to one of the nicer brains at this time, the more stuff we can bring the human to the center of, the people need to the mm-hmm. center of, I think will be a good place. But I think that last statement, Jen, of yours was a good place to call it for this little mini episode. Mm-hmm. That has been great. So why don't you let people know about where people can get hold of you and find out your projects and businesses?
Yes, so I am feelgooddogood.co.uk is the website. We are fgooddgood on Instagram and Twitter. And then I'm J Lothrop as my individual one on Instagram and Twitter. So yeah, feel good, do good. F good, do good, because somebody had already stolen feel good, do good as a handle. So
nightmare.
That's where you can find me. And I also, if you're interested in learning more about Agile as a starting point, I'd recommend the Agile Manifesto, which is the basics of Agile. And then I've got some blogs on feel good, do good, and also on. Well, I'm merging my home blog with my travel blog, so it's going to be a bit of everything. So She Gets Around, there's going to be stuff on there too.
Awesome. Thank you very much. So that was Rebyte number 14, all about Agile with Jenny Lothrop. I'll catch you next time, people.
Thanks for having me.